World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It is time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it. See?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, my wife reminded me as I came down the steps today that this is Flea Flicker Friday. Flea Flicker Friday, it's a football term. It's Flea Flicker is when a guy ran down the field, the quarterback threw in the pass, he caught it, and then he laterals it to a guy coming behind him. That's called a flea flicker. So it'd be like you flick a flea off of you, you flick it onto somebody else, Flea Flicker Friday, throw the ball down the field, the guy catches it, the guy comes behind him, he laterals it to him. That's a flea flicker. So this is Flea Flicker Friday. In other words, whatever topic, whatever flea's been bugging you, you can flip it out on the table today and we'll have a little bit of a discussion about that. Makes my job a little less tenuous here sometimes if we're talking about the things that you guys want to talk about, although there are millions of things to be able to talk about. Day 9, I'm still on my fast. I know some of you out there are still on your fasts as well. Had great feedback yesterday from it ended up being about 30 minutes yesterday speaking about the fast. I got another little video I want to show you here this morning regarding that. Getting ready to jump on a plane as soon as the show's over to go to Joplin, Missouri. Actually, I'm going to fly into Tulsa and meet George and some other guys there. We're going to drive to Joplin, Missouri. We're going to do a boot camp out there. And so Kevin and I got a whole big, like I look like Santa Claus bringing a big bag of hats and shirts and that kind of stuff. And that's one of my great stresses when I go is I never know how many people are going to be there. And do I take hats for 100? Do I take hats for 10? And so I'm bringing some of that stuff, Kevin, and we'll get rid of it. And again, for anybody who might be listening out there, where do they go? Where do they show up? What's that whole thing about, Kevin?
Well, we're going to start the activities this evening at 6:30 Central Time at the Faith and New Hope Church. That's going to be the kickoff. The address is 20314 Guardian Road. It's actually Joplin, Missouri address, but the little church has been actually annexed into a little town called Carterville, which is a bedroom community. But if you just type in Faith and New Hope Church anywhere around Joplin, it'll bring you to it. And kick off and going to have some sandwich stuff there. If somebody's hungry, or someone needs something, going to have some cookies and some tea and stuff like that. And then Coach is going to line us up on what the rest of the activities are going to be from there on out. I'm excited. I've talked to people from all over the area that have indicated they're going to come up. Of course, you're bringing George and some guys from Tulsa. Talked to a gentleman by the name of Craig down in Shell Knob. He's indicated he's on his way, and I'm hopeful and very prayerful that we're going to have a good event. And regardless of whatever the weather's going to do to us while we're doing this, we're going to have a spiritual boot camp, and you're going to light some fires, and we're going to kick some tires and make some noise.
We are going to do that for sure. And I'm reminded right now of my good buddy, see if he's on here. I know he was. I was talking to him earlier. Chad down there in Dallas, actually Temple. Is Chad gone? Yeah, he might have snuck out on us. He was here. No, there he is.
I'm here, buddy.
He's there. Chad, when we had a boot camp down in Temple, my brain went dead there for a minute. We notified a bunch of people. We met a bunch of them at Hear the Watchman conference. We had a list of about 70 guys. We called them all, said, "We're coming. Come and join us. It's free. Yada yada yada." Brought Rusty Thomas in from Waco, Texas, and get this church that we're able to use. And we go in there, and Chad and his wife Michelle sit on the front row, and Rusty sits beside him on the front row, and I'm up in the podium, and we are it. Not another person came. And when it was over, I flew in, right? I invested some time and effort, energy and money. And Todd, Chad had made phone calls. We'd done different things to try to wake people up. And when we were leaving, Actually, I got up there and I still preached to those three, and Rusty got up there and Rusty still preached to the three of us. And when it was over, we walked out and got in the car and said, well, we did that one. But on the way out the door, a car pulls in, and it was guy jumped out. His name was Glenn, said, hey, man, a lot of traffic getting down here. We're just now getting there. I said, oh, my goodness, it's, we're done. We're finished up. He says, well, where is everybody? I said, well, we're looking at it. Well, come on, we'll go over to Whataburger. I think that's where we went. We'll share what's going on with it. He and his wife, Corinne, over. We went over to the Whataburger, had a Whataburger, shared with Glenn what's going on. And Chad, you're going to have an event at your house this week. And from that seed of Glenn and Corinne, how many people would you say right now, if you called out an absolute and ask everybody, you have to come, how many people would come to your house, you suppose, Chad? How big's your downline right now?
Probably 35.
Is that unbelievable?
35.
35. Amen.
35. From one little, you guys understand something? It was me, Rusty, Chad, and Michelle. That was it. That was it. We walked out there and there was Glenn and Corinne. We planted the seed into Glenn and Corinne and 35 people. And they're coming to Chad's house again. When they come in, Chad, I get my dates all mixed up. The 23rd?
Okay, the 23rd at 7 p.m. Central Time, we'll have a cookout like as usual. And then Saturday, the morning, will be the big kickoff and all the way through the Saturday night. And then Sunday morning, we make breakfast. We make breakfast for everybody. And then we also do communion on that day. So everyone, we have communion. It's very powerful. So we'd love
these
to
are these are spiritual things. It's not only fellowship, but it's spiritual things. And so Chad's building him a good downline. That's what we're going to try to do with Kevin. Rob Hughes got a good downline going. Sarge's got a good downline going. We got downlines all across America, and I'm trying to impress upon you folks, listen, schedule an event, and we'll come and we'll plant. Johnny Appleseed will show up, and we will plant something. We planted one over in Indianapolis. I don't know if that thing, I mean, I'm sure it's still up and running, but it's growing, and we're planting. This is what we're trying to do. Go, Chad.
Okay, Dave, I was just going to say that. Look, I'm not a know-it-all. I don't have all the thing, but I can tell you some mistakes that I made and things that maybe you could do better. So if anybody's out there interested in trying to, you know, get a brigade thing going when their location or whatever, then feel free to call me. My number's all on the website, and I'll talk to everybody. I mean, I talked to Rich Wallace there, and we, you know, had a good conversation and stuff. But there's things that you know that you need to be anticipating that might be common sense, but you just might not think about it. So I just want to try to encourage everybody to have one close to you at least once. Just try it once. All you can do.
And we have a good database already. No matter where you live, we probably know people in your area. Now, that doesn't mean they'll come, but you say, I'm going to hold one of these. And you say, you know, my friends think I'm crazy. They're not going to come. Well, we have people in that area. Okay. We're connected in that area. And so we'll help build a team around you. And remember, many are called, few are chosen. And I would just encourage you that we would love to come to your neighborhood and be able to do that. You know, I run into people all the time over the internet who watch this show. And it just continues to make, we have a couple upstairs right now. Bernie and Cynthia Davis, out by St. Louis. Cynthia was a, state rep for 8 years in Missouri, and they got a hold of me a couple of weeks ago. They're heading to see their son, the new grandbaby, actually, in Virginia, and they said, we're going to be coming through. Could we have dinner? I said, no. Yeah, you can have dinner, but come on, you can stay with us. So they rolled in last night. They're up here this morning. Cynthia listens to the show every morning, and it's like this over and over and over and over. So I just continue to be encouraged. And I want you guys to be encouraged too, all right? I don't want to get bogged down on that. But hey guys, if you don't do it, who's going to? In your area right now, I contacted a guy, I have it right here someplace, Tom Munns, my buddy out in Boise, Idaho. We tried to get, when we went out to Idaho, we tried to get that group up and running out there, and we handed off to a guy, and it just, nothing there, never materialized. And if I could tell you right now, I'm going to call him out. He'll get embarrassed. Maybe I'll never hear from him again. Let's see here. Bear with me. Yeah, let's see right here. Let me see. No, Tom, that's not it. It's my fault. Tom sent me the list. This guy listens to your show every day. He's in Idaho, and he listens to your show, Coach. and get a hold of him. And we want to try to get something rolling out in Idaho. Here it is. And I'm going to call him out right now. Hang on. Okay, here we go. Are you guys ready? I'll do this to you and I'll find out. Dean Castillo, give me a daggone call. Let's get something going in Boise, Idaho. I got your phone number. I called you and I left a message. Come on, man. Tom will help. There are other people out there. Where is that place? Coeur d'Alene. I was up there, did an event up there. Let's get an event going. Come on, Dean. You the man. Tom will help. Amen. I'm calling out to others of you. I told my wife yesterday, it's been kind of a lull in our life over December and January. I said, honey, I'm just telling you, things are about to really kick up. Things are really about to kick up. I'm telling you. I'm encouraged. Be encouraged. Come on. Hey, guys, now's the time. And I said before the show started, if we think those dudes in Washington, D.C. are going to move just because they're good guys, No. And so we need to become the water underneath the boat. We got to become the wave. We have to become the wind. We have to do that. Or we're going to die in this mess. So I'm trying to waking people up. Anybody else for the good of the group? You understand what's going on? Come on, man. Hey, David Arthur, we're coming out to Maine. David Arthur, he got Scott Lively. I don't know. You guys know Scott Lively? I talked about that yesterday. The pink swastika. I'm going to try to get Scott on as a guest. Scott Lively's going to come. Listen, you get a place. You say, Coach, I don't have any money. We'll pay for it. You get a place and we will come and we will build a team around you. And not only will we come and build a team around you, we're going to bring some speakers that are going to come in and going to encourage you. Rob Pugh's got this monster thing going on up in Wisconsin. It's almost becoming a church. I hate the idea of church, but it's a fellowship and a gathering where he has found people around him who are interested and sick and tired of what's going on. You are connected. You're connected. You are. What are you waiting on? Come on. Step out of the boat. Step out of the boat. Time is wasted. Daylight's burning, man. Come on. Step out of the boat. Let's get this thing moving forward. That's why I like to hear the Watchman conferences and the Occupy Till I Come and all those things, because we run into like-minded people. There's your downline. We just need somebody who will grab the bull by the horn, stick the flag in the ground, say, come on, we're going to do it. You may not be the leader. You might be the organizer. A leader may come up out of the group. There may be some guy out there that's got all these plans and all these things that he wants to get done. He has nobody around him. And you organize a meeting and allow God to bring to that meeting who he wants to have there at that meeting. And something's going to flourish out of it. Something.
Amen, brother.
Chad's done it. I just go on and on. Kevin's done it. God bless Kevin. He's done it. Has he taken a risk? Yeah, he's taken a risk. He's hoping for 100. I'm hoping for 10. You understand? This isn't for everybody, but it's for a lot of us. It's for a lot of us. That's why they hate
it. Coach, we are the ecclesia. We are the church. Don't be afraid to call it. We are the ecclesia, and that's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
That's what we're supposed to do, boys. And so I'm doing all I can to try to make that happen. I just got to say this real quick. They just passed a new budget. Looks like they passed a new budget. Planned Parenthood still funded.
Yeah, we got to change that, brother.
Huh? Planned Parenthood still funded. Why? Well, we know why. Doesn't matter to anybody. We pray about it. Right? We pray about it. We're pro-life. It doesn't matter to anybody. And they're only going to fund Planned Parenthood when they hear from us. Okay. Got a plan on that one as well.
Absolutely.
Maybe it doesn't make you mad. Maybe you don't understand the significance of the slaughter of the unborn children. The little images made little babies made in the image of God. Maybe you don't understand why we talked about blood guiltiness and that you had to draw a line. The community had to draw a line to the nearest city when an innocent man was killed. They had to draw a line, measure a line to the nearest city. That nearest city was responsible and they had to go do a blood sacrifice to cover that innocent blood. And think about the 60 million dead, more than that probably, innocent blood. I got an email from a guy yesterday. He says, why do you worry about abortion? There's always been abortions, and abortions are going to continue. He said, you can criminalize abortion. Women, they're still going to go out and have abortions. I said, you're daggone right they are. And it'd be murder. It'd be murder.
That's right. Call it what it is. Exactly.
It's not going to be legal. It's going to be murder. And you know what? Murder's illegal in America, and they kill five a night in Detroit. There's a law against it, and they still kill them. But the government tries to arrest those who did it. So
that's what people don't understand. Life begins at conception.
It's not
a dead sperm that combine to make a living being.
Hey, but they're not making any money off those bodies, Coach.
No, they're not. Hey, Chad, and there's no spiritual significance to America as a result of that, right? Come on, man. Don't get me going. You are getting me going. It irritates me.
It's Flea Flicker Friday. Let's get going. What the heck?
Let's get flea flicking here, okay?
But in all spirit of my buddy Rich, let's talk about Jesus. That's right.
Okay, well, I'm going to do that right now.
Amen. My buddy John Duke is free because of John Trump. Free John Juca, G-U-I, it's just G-I-U-C-A.
Send me some information on Vince. Send me some information on it, and then we really can get in. Because this is a visual medium. It's an audio, but it's a visual medium, so we're going to be on the same page. Listen, I got to show you this real quickly, 6 minutes, because I know this is important to some people who are still fasting out there. This is a five-minute video. Play it, Jared. This is Benefits of Fasting. Guys, we don't fast for physical reasons, but there are physical benefits to fasting, physical, okay? And this is a brief, short little video that I watched this morning. I thought, man, this would be good to show people. I'm on day 9. I don't know when the Lord's going to call me off of it. I'm on day 9, but this thing encouraged me. So, Jared, pull that up here real quick, benefits of fasting. Physiological. This lady making this thing, she don't have anything to do with spiritual issues, okay? But if you're struggling with your health, man, this is, yeah. Hey, I feel younger and more alive every time I fast. I can't explain it. This video does. Go ahead, Jared.
Welcome to my YouTube channel, MetaSkills. My name is Veronica, and today we are going to continue with series of science behind fasting. So fasting is cool, but what actually happens to your body? Well, it's a very complex system, so I've chosen to talk about following 6 things. First one is cells. In particular, what effect has fasting on our immune system? The second one is glucose and glycogen and its effect on body fat. Then ketosis and its effect on our mental state. Proteins and its effect on our brain. Neurons and its effect on our brain, and the last one is stress and its effect on our energy. So let's have a look at the cells first. Recent studies reveal that fasting for 3 days can regenerate entire immune system, even in the elderly. While fasting, your body is simply forced to use stores of glucose and fat, but it also breaks down a significant portion of white blood cells. This triggers stem cell-based regeneration of new immune system cells.
In other words,
when you starve your cells for approximately 3 days, the cells just shrink in size. They actually cannibalize themselves, but they are still fully functional. So your body gets rid of the bad guys and helps to rebuild the new healthy ones.
Wow.
However, when you feed yourself again, it's necessary that you eat food that's healthy. You need to rebuild the cells.
When you come off your fast, don't eat potato chips.
The right nutrients. So avoid processed and junk food after your fasting, if possible. Plus, drink a lot of water so your body can flush out those bad guys mentioned earlier. Now, let's have a look at glucose and glycogen. What actually happens with the sugar? Well, on the first day of fasting, the body burns stored sugar for energy. Every time you eat a meal, the energy goes into your liver and it's stored in the form of glycogen. And it takes about 10 to 12 hours before you deplete the glycogen stores in your liver. So if you eat 3 meals a day, you never deplete the glycogen stores in your liver. Although if you do some type of exercise, you could do that. So the biggest difference between intermittent fasting and prolonged fasting is complete glycogen exhaustion. And once you deplete the glycogen stores in your liver, then you start burning fat and you produce ketone bodies. Ketone bodies are very good for your brain. So when stores are low and you haven't gotten food for a while, your body will stop using glucose to fuel its basic needs, conserving it for emergencies. your body and brain will shift to ketosis, where it gets all of its energy from ketone bodies, from fat metabolism. So ketones go up, which is good for our brain and body. Some studies even revealed that ketogenic diets are used to treat, even today, patients with severe epilepsy, among other diseases. The same thing comes into effect when you are doing a prolonged fast. This sounds like a common sense, right? We would actually have more energy when we are hungry. Your body wants you to focus on getting food, so you have energy to get that food. Your brain has the energy to stay focused on getting food. That's why people say that they experience so much focus and energy when they are fasting. I feel on fire when I do longer fasting, say between 24 to 72 hours. Alright, what about proteins? Exercise and intermittent fasting both increase the production of proteins in the brain that are called neurotrophic factors. Studies showed that these neurotrophic factors, such as one called BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, promote the growth of neurons. And this is important. They promote the connection of neurons and the strengthening in synapses. When this happens, neurocircuits are activated. Levels of neurotrophic factors such as BDNF increase. So this process of increasing BDNF will increase the number of mitochondria in your nerve cells. It's like a brain fertilizer. It helps the brain grow. In addition, we have an increase in synaptic plasticity. The way our neurons work in our brain is they have synapses, and that's the connection between two neurons. If we have more synaptic plasticity, it means the brain can communicate a little bit better with other brain cells, but also with the body. Now, of course, that there is an increase in stress tolerance, but wait, that is actually not a bad thing. So fasting promotes a mild energetic stress, and the neurons respond adaptively by increasing mitochondria, which helps to produce more energy. It has been shown that by increasing the number of mitochondria in neurons, it can increase the ability of the neurons to form and maintain synapses, and thereby increase learning, memory ability, and more focus. So think about this from a different perspective. When you are being focused on getting your food because you are hungry, you are not going to worry about things like what other people think of you, or who killed who in next country, or to check your Facebook or email every 20 minutes. You suddenly become a human being on mission to find food. But since you know you can have food, you can use this focus to something that is important to you, because you have more mental clarity.
How about the Bible? How about focusing on the Word?
Since there is similarity between how cells respond to the stress of exercise and how cells respond to intermittent fasting, think about the stress like when you do some exercise in the gym. As long as you give your body some time to recover, your body will get stronger. So fasting seems like a great tool that is simple, natural, raw, bio, and it's for free. It gives you more mental clarity, bigger physical strength, and more importantly, it gives you different perspective on your life.
Amen. Okay, Jared, you can stop there. So listen, again, we do not fast for physical reasons, but there are physical consequences to the fasting. Isn't that amazing that when you fast, and you deny yourself food, and you draw closer to the Lord, He provides physical benefits to that. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Serge, you feeling physically better?
Definitely, Coach. Definitely. Every day a little bit more. Doing the exercises 3-5 times a day. And I'm just amazed. I'm getting my grandkids to do it. My wife's doing it with me. They're seeing they saw the difference in my blood pressure, so they're really realizing that something's going on.
Amen. Read that word, brother. Read the word and pray. You need to be doing
Oh yeah, definitely. I am.
Okay, cool. Hey guys, listen, I hate to focus that much on fasting, but I'm going to tell you something. You probably don't want to hear about it because you're not doing it. If you're doing it, you understand why it's important. Because 9 days of it, it changes you. Okay, and so I want to encourage some people today. Not only does it encourage you, it's good for you. Good for you to do it. Okay, cool. Let me throw one more thing up there. And somebody's, I'll catch that one later. Hey, Jared, let's go to Gay Billionaire. I want to show you again what we're up against. What we're up against. And, yeah, it would be good if we could get this guy saved, but chances are pretty good we're not going to get him saved. At least we're not going to. Look at this. This is Washington Times. Whoops, what made that happen, Jared? That didn't pop up on mine. Jared will figure it out here. Bear with us. There it is, a gay mega donor on going after Christians. And what's it say? I'll pull it up on mine because I can read it on mine. It says, that's all right, gay mega donor on going after Christians. We're going to punish the wicked. Look at this guy. We're going to punish the wicked. That'd be me and you. That'd be me and you. Scroll on down there, Jared. Find out this guy has invested hundreds of millions of dollars to advance the gay agenda in all 50 states. This is July 19, 2017. His name is, it says we're going to the hardest states in the country. That'd be Ohio. And we're going to punish the wicked. David Arthur said he got married to a man. I messed that, David. Let's see if I can pull that back up there. It says he got married to a man before the Supreme Court made it legal in all states, and he went to mass to do so. So there you go. His foundation, just so you know that the enemy, if the enemy just doesn't want to be married, they want to do what? Well, they want to do it to us. They want to punish us. They want to punish. They call us the wicked. So again, this battle's going on everywhere. Last year, Gill Foundation rallied more than 100 corporations, including Coca-Cola, Google, Marriott, by a front group called Georgia Prosperous, and threatened to punish these owners. And then I saw yesterday, what's the name of that? Not Walgreens. Is that Walgreens, Shelley? Walgreens? Yeah. Walgreens now has gone to Homo Bathroom. Walgreens. And so now they want us to lead another protest against Walgreens. See, the enemy never quits, and they're not afraid of the church. They're not afraid of. They're not afraid of. That's where we're at. Okay, I'm going to flick it. Somebody jump in here. Amen. That's right. You know that's a connection. They're not afraid of the church because the church isn't afraid of God. Bernie Davis upstairs. We had a good talk about that last night. We think for some reason Christians think we're immune. We think we're immune. We got saved, so therefore we're immune to everything that's going on in the world. And as a result of it, because of our immune system, because we're immune to the consequences of sin, we're going to get raptured out of here. We're able to hate things and not do anything about it. I don't know what it's like where you are. If I hate bed bugs. I hate them. If I get an infestation of bed bugs, I'd do something about it. Wouldn't you? If I had an infestation of rats in my house, I would do something about it. I wouldn't pray against the rats. I wouldn't pray that they would die. I would do something about it. And the reason I would do something about it is because it has a direct impact on me. Now, I wouldn't get quite as upset if my neighbor has bed bugs. I might feel bad about it, but it doesn't bother me because I don't sleep at his house. But if he wants to come over to my house and spend the night, now we got a different issue, right? We got a different issue. So we are naturally built that we only care about what influences us.
Hey, Coach.
And the sad truth is, this all influences us. We don't get it. Yeah.
I think the church doesn't fear God because they've accepted rapture as their way out, their salvation.
Immunization. Immune, right? They're immune to it. All this stuff in the Bible, we are immune to it because we're going to be out of here. And
it's
paralyzing us. Yeah, Dale.
Yeah, they don't read their Bible, because when you read all throughout the Old Testament, when God placed Israel in bondage, whether it was the Medi-Persians or the Babylonians, he took all of them, including those that were righteous, and then those generations. I mean, if you look at the timeline of Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, those all centered around the same captivity, the Babylonian Empire. And so they were not immune to it. Matter of fact, God brought them in it, and then he used those prophets to bring them in and to bring them through it. And so that's just a ridiculous thought. Now, here's another thing, because it's absolutely true. The enemy is not scared. They understand that this is a spiritual warfare. Now, you're very familiar with Matt Terwilliger's The Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates and his stance on the interposition and resist the federal beast and the tyranny. The enemy is using that exact same tactic when you see Colorado saying we're going to refuse federal law and we're going to allow smoking pot. When you see California saying we're going to refuse the ICE acts and we're going to make this place a sanctuary city, and any of our citizens who turns anybody over, we're going to punish them. They're doing the exact same thing that God is calling us to do. They're just doing it in a wicked way.
That's right. And so what we have to do, Dale, we have to remember all politics are local, right? People like to go to Washington, D.C. and raise cane. Nah, there ain't no big deal there. We got to do things locally. We're not organized and we're not able to do that. That's one of the plans that I'm working on, is a local event that will touch the world. You guys with me? You understand what I'm talking about? Now Jared put up on the screen this. He's in Philippians 2. I just want to tip my hat. Jared's growing as a Christian man, isn't he? He's growing right before our very eyes. Verse 12 of Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you've also obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence." See, kids behave when dad's home. When dads leave, kids misbehave. And Paul's saying, you did it when I was here, you behaved. And now I'm looking, and now you're behaving when I'm not even here. That's good. He says, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Watch, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure, and do all things without murmuring and disputings. Do his good pleasure, not your good pleasure. That's how you know. You shall know them by what? Their fruit. That's the fruit of it. So, you know, we sit here today. Part of the problem we run into is, I think, Flea Flicker Friday, is we're overwhelmed. I imagine most of us are probably pretty upset that they're still funding Planned Parenthood, still killing babies, but it's overwhelming. Well, it's overwhelming because we're trying to go kill the beast. But what we have to do is we have to cut off one of his foot here and make him bleed to death. Do you understand that? Do you understand that you don't have that? I love to use this illustration. Frazier versus Muhammad Ali, Madison Square Garden, I believe it was February 18th, 1970, although I could be wrong. Heavyweight champion of the world, Joe Frazier, Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali, if you remember, had been retired, or they charged him with tax evasion. He didn't fight for 3 years. He came back, had a couple warm-ups, and then he's fighting Joe Frazier after 3.5 years off. He's fighting Joe Frazier for the heavyweight championship of the world in Madison Square Garden. Muhammad Ali gets knocked down in the 15th round. He got knocked down there. And we find out later on, after the whole thing's over, that in the first round, Joe Frazier had thrown a left hook that broke his jaw, broke Ali's jaw, first round. Muhammad Ali fought for 13 more rounds, 14 rounds, with a broken jaw, if you can even imagine that. And then the 14th round, I think it was, Joe Frazier knocked Ali down. But see, the moral of that story is the deadening blow was delivered in the first round. Muhammad Ali didn't fall till the 14th. He persevered to the 14th round. But it was that left hook in the first round that made him bleed to death. Are you guys with me? So one of the problems that we have here, we say we got to end abortion in Washington, D.C. Okay, well, let's do something to break their jaw here. Let's break their jaw right here. Let's figure out how we can make them bleed to death right here. 1,000 cuts. We haven't been very good at that. Our strategy hasn't been very good at that. And that's one of the things that I want to help organize, is how we're going to cut off one of their toes or one of their feet, watch them watch him bleed to death from it. This anybody jump in.
Our strategy in government is no different than what took place during World War II with the Germans. The Germans used their soldiers to line up the Jews, dig a ditch, and shoot them. Well, what happened is that wore on those soldiers, on them mentally. And so what they realized, they still wanted the end result, but a more convenient way. So they went to chemical gassing with them. So what we have done is gone from the surgical abortion clinics to now the plan B that you can find at Walgreens. You can find it at CVS. And it's the chemical thing. It's the exact same thing. And we're killing more babies that way because it doesn't placate on them mentally. And, brother, let me tell you what, that is just going to wreak the judgment of God on us even that much more so.
And it does horrible things to the woman, right? That's all lies. It's all based on lies. Somebody else tried to jump in. Go ahead. Flea Flicker Friday.
Did you see where one of the islands in the Caribbean has rejected the
gay marriage?
Same-sex marriage.
Mike, what the heck made you get up this morning? Good to hear you, Mike. Good to hear you there, buddy. Yes,
that was Bermuda.
Bermuda has rescinded homosexual marriage, right? They've rescinded it.
Amen.
And here we are, one nation under God. God's, the shining city set on a hill. Shining city set on a hill. George H.W. Bush said, and look at us. Look at what a cesspool we are. But we have to again remember that all politics are local, and we've got to stand up. We have to go in mass to our local school boards when they start foisting this foolishness on our children. We need to go locally and bring pressure. We can't just let them say, well, the feds are making us do it, right? We just can't do that. We need to have grassroots local opposition to these type of things. That's a plan that I'm trying to work on. Somebody else, flick one out there for us. Be any subject. I don't care what it is.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
I got the opportunity yesterday through Pastor Roger Tickle. They have every third Thursday of the month. It's a community ministerial gathering. So I go down yesterday, and they had
Jeff's running for a county commissioner in his county. Go ahead, Jeff.
So I get down there because they have Judge Wetzel speaking. He's the newly elected judge about a year ago. Good Christian man. And he's actually, there's 18 different ministries represented down there. Everything from Starting Point to the Good News Club, different ones, you know what I mean? So they all show up down there. There's probably six or seven pastors. The judge has opened his courtrooms and the courthouse, the whole place. They're doing prayer outside of it on Tuesday mornings. He's had them come in his courtroom and pray during his hearings that he has for these people that come in there, because he wants righteous decisions made by him that's honoring God for these people's lives. So they're actually getting involved up there, and he lets them even come in the empty courtroom and just pray over the courtroom if they want when there's no court going on. So there's a moving going on up there. So yesterday afternoon, I got to go in there, and they did on their little handout paper they handed out, had a little scripture of Ezekiel 22:30. So I'm reading down through this, and they're having about 20 minutes of prayer, and then the judge speaks. So I got to share with them that, 42, and I told them I nominated the churches in Knox County because we got 120 of them in our county. I said, now, when I spoke to the Republican Party there, and I nominated every one of you to help with these situations we have in our county. So now they're looking at me like, what? But that was the scripture he had on there, Pastor Roger had on there. I searched for a man among them who would repair the wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land so that I might not destroy it. But I found no one.
So where is that, Jeff? Where is that? Where is that? Ezekiel
22:30.
Get it up there, Jared. Ezekiel 22:30.
He's got her up there. So I get to share with them too. And Pastor Roger kudoed me on it. And I said, why do we live in fear? That's the problem with Christians. I said, the Bible says it like more than 42 times. Fear not. So Pastor Roger ad-libbed on that. And I was actually received pretty well, I thought. I thought, man, they're just going to hammer me when I walk in there. But it was good. Had some good conversations with different ones, maybe about six pastors there. So I'm going to keep going, and I'm going to go meet with this Judge Wetzel and have a conversation with him. But it was a pretty good day for in the county, you know what I mean? So
good. Everything's local.
He shared with him, I'm running for county commissioner. And I told him, it's about time that somebody, Christians, stand up and run for something.
Somebody stood in the gap. Right?
Amen.
Hey, Jared, let's screw up to about 24 here on this one. Ezekiel 22. Let's go to about 24. Let's see what it says. 23. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, I always love that when the word of the Lord comes and it says, don't you? The word of the Lord comes to me and it talks. Why? Because it's living. It's living. You understand that? It's living. It's a word. It has a voice. Son of man, say unto her, thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. Who are they talking about now? The prophets, those speaking for God. There's a conspiracy amongst those who are supposed to be speaking for God, but they're like a roaring lion ravening their prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasures and the precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. I'm thinking of government now. Can you imagine what the war on poverty, what it did to America? Are you kidding me? How many widows? Black men not marrying their wives. Can you imagine? Wow. Her priests have violated my law, and they've profaned mine holy things. They put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed the difference between the unclean and the clean. And have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. For princes, in the midst thereof, are like wolves, ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls. Isn't that something? Not just body, but soul. To get dishonest gain. Somebody say amen. You don't have to hear because there's a delay. I know you're saying it.
Amen. Amen.
And her prophets have daubed. I love that word. There's my name. You know what daub is, right? A mud dauber. That's when you put mud in the cracks, right? And we put mud in the cracks. That's called daubing.
Amen.
And her prophets had daubed them with untempered mortar. Meaning what? It's fake mud. It's fake. It's not going to last. Oh, it's going to fill that gap for a short period of time, but it hadn't been tempered with mortar, so it's just going to dry up. It's just going to roll out of there. Hadn't been daubed properly. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus says the Lord God, when the Lord ain't said it. Wow. The people of the land, the rest of us, we've used oppression. We've exercised robbery through taxation. We've vexed the poor and the needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. But as for me, well, I was looking for any man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land. He said, who's going to stand up for me? Who's going to do that? And give me a reason that I should not destroy it. I didn't find one. Therefore, he said, as loving Jesus loves everybody, God says, have I poured out mine indignation upon them? Now I've consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed, repaid upon their heads, says the Lord God. Are you really willing to stand in the gap? You want to organize a salt and light brigade? Well, are you willing to stand on the gap? Are you willing to find some other guys that are going to come with you and point out that it's untempered mortar? Are you willing to do that? Because the Lord's looking for somebody to do it. Hey, Jared, go to Isaiah 6. I think it's Isaiah 6. Go there. The same thing. See, this is all throughout the scriptures. See, that's what it means when you become a bondservant for the Lord. This is the kind of stuff that you're supposed to do. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims, and each one that had five wings and six wings, and I got my glasses on. And with two, he covered his face, and with two, he covered his feet, and with two, he flew. Get that picture, if you will. By the way, angels are male. Angels are male. Not these little fat little babies. And one cried unto another, said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved. Wow. At the voice of him and cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And then I said, whoa. I guess I would say whoa, wouldn't you? That ain't a good word. It's whoa. Woe is me, because I am undressed. Woo, am I exposed. Because I am a man of unclean lips, Isaiah says, and I dwell in the midst of people with unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. See, here's a problem. Some of you ain't seen the King. You've seen mixed mortar, an untempered mortar of him. You've seen a likeness of him. Somebody's painted a picture of him, but you ain't seen him. See, Isaiah's seen him. And he says, whoa, whoa. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then flew one of those angels unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with his tongue from the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth. And he said, lo, this has touched your lips, and your sin is taken away, and your sin is purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, how about this? Hey, who can I send? Anybody that'll go for me? Get the picture. Isaiah's just seen the Lord. The Lord's just cleansed him of his sins. Isaiah has seen the magnitude of who God is, and the Lord has graced him and forgiven him. And now that the Lord has graced him and forgiven him, he doesn't say to Isaiah, hey, Isaiah, will you go for me? Will you go do this for me? He doesn't say, hey, Isaiah, I just saved you. I just cleansed your lips. I just opened your eyes. Okay, but now that I did that for you, will you do something for me? No, he doesn't say that. No, he didn't hear that. He said, and I heard a voice of the Lord say, will anybody go? Is there anybody out there that I can send? Anybody? And what did Isaiah say? He looked around. Here am I, Lord. I'll do it. That's profound, isn't it? You've been saved? You know the
Amen.
Lord? You say, whoa! Hallelujah. There's no woe in the land. We don't say woe anymore. Whoa! He's looking for somebody to stand in the gap, to repair the hedge. We got all these phony people going around with untempered mortar. They're slapping everything up against all of our problems. It all looks good. They paint over it, and 2 weeks later, all that mud comes out of there when it dries.
You will serve the King in the kingdom you seek, right, brother?
That's
they
it,
don't
brother.
See
you serve
the King.
They don't see the King. Now, hang on. Hang on, Dale. Some of us do, and what are we doing?
We hide our talents in the ground because we know that God is demanding.
He is demanding. And we know this. We know this. It's probably going to cost us everything. But here's the trip up. You're already dead. It can't cost you anything. Everything you have is his. You get the picture? Jesus,
yeah, if you haven't died yourself, you haven't become Christ yet.
So Larry, that's why it says in Romans 1 that render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Folks, wake the heck up. What belongs to Caesar? Can somebody tell me what belongs to Caesar?
Actually, nothing belongs. Nothing.
Nothing the earth belongs to Caesar. Why That's doesn't right. anything belong to Caesar?
Because the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof and everything and all that dwell in it.
Dale, have you ever got it, huh? So again, there's that untempered mortar. There it is. Render unto Caesar Why do you render unto? See, the Lord says, he just asked a very simple question. He said, hey, listen, dude, give to whoever you think's the Lord. If you think Caesar's the Lord, then you give it to him. Hey, he didn't tell you to do it.
Here's
he said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and render unto God that which is God's. And so we have to ask ourselves, what is God's? What belongs to God? And the answer is?
Everything.
Everything. Here's something to chew on. It may not belong to Caesar, but Caesar sure has control over a whole lot of it. Why? Right. Because people, even some people claiming to be God's people, voluntarily hand over to him control of stuff.
Mm-hmm. So Larry, when he said to occupy till I return, what was he talking about? Don't let them take that stuff that belongs to me. Yep. Hang on to that stuff for me.
You're going to serve. You're going to serve the king in which you see, brother, and that's what they see. They see the government as their help, and so they serve it because they have not seen the king as Isaiah saw him, which will render you as a dead man. That's the Isaiah, like, I'm a dead man here. This is it. John in the book of Revelation says, and I fell as a dead man before the throne room of God, because that's the power and the awe of God. You know, amen, that you fall as a dead man.
Boy, Coach, I'd love you to do a study on that, on all of this, more.
On what, Serge?
Everything we're talking about now, just study it more. Instead of just brushing over it.
Bernie, I don't know if Bernie, you listen up there, Bernie. If you can, Bernie, come down there and tell me that book about John Bunyan wrote that you told me everybody ought to read. Pilgrim's Progress, we know about that one. But Bernie was telling me last night of another book that John Bunyan wrote that is so deeply profound. And one of the things that's happened to us, see, we have lost the faith of our fathers. We have a faith, but it's not the faith of our fathers. There it is. The Holy War. The Holy War by John Bunyan. It's a fierce battle rages to take control away from the rightful prince of Mansoul. And who will be the conquering prince? Diabolus or Emmanuel? And what can the inhabitants do to resist the attacks of the evil one? Your soul is under attack from forces of evil. Through this powerful allegory, you will learn how to build up your defenses and prepare for war. Bunyan will illuminate your understanding and show that with Christ, the conqueror, on your side, you have nothing to fear. The Holy War, John Bunyan, I'm going to buy it because I haven't read it. And what Bernie was saying to me last night is this. Because we have lost the faith of our... Hey, Jared, Psalm 78. Because we've lost the faith of our fathers, we have untempered mortar. We have stuff that isn't even Christian anymore, isn't even Christian that we're teaching. Verse 5 of Psalm 78. Follow this. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and he appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to who? To their children, not the public school is going to make it known, not the government's going to make it known, but the fathers are going to make it known to their children, and that the generation to come, the children, might know them, even the children who should be born, who would arise and then go and declare it to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not to forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation who used untempered mortar, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. And the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. And they kept not the covenant of their God, and refused to walk in his law, and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. That's where we are, see? The Holy War, John Bunyan. Make that a must read. Make that a must read.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
So I always like it when we get ready to go somewhere, it's really dark, and Pastor Bill's getting ready to lead us out somewhere. And he always said, I remember him saying this many a times, he said, the Lord sends us out. He didn't guarantee that we'll return.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, when those guys stormed Normandy Beach, most of them knew they weren't coming back. Most of them knew it, man. I think of old Mr. Bats out there. Oh, my God, old Ralph Bats. Every time I see him and hear the watchman, the 80, 85, 86 years old, a survivor storming Omaha Beach, Normandy Beach. And he said he knew that when those flaps went, he said people died right beside him, struck with fear. And when you walked off that boat, you knew the chance is pretty good you weren't walking back on. See, that's what the Lord's called us to do. He's called us to go out. He hadn't called us to come back. Right? But we can't do that if we love our own lives. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and love not their own lives, even to shrink from death. We love ourselves too much. We do. We do. We don't understand the tag team handoff of taking our values and handing it to the next generation. We have squandered it. We have used untempered mortar. We have used every solution, every human, manly, humanistic solution we can to repair the breach, and it has not worked. And the king's crumbling right before our very eyes. And we have a chance, maybe for the first time ever in my lifetime, to begin to daub with real mortar. Real mortar. That's where my heart is. Got a few minutes left. 4 minutes left here. Anybody? Whoever flicked that good flick. I don't know who started that good flick. That was Jeff. Good flick, Jeff. Jump in here. Come on, man.
Well,
Kevin. Amen,
Kevin, I'm going to go to Joplin, Missouri. Kevin gave his number. Anybody out in that area wants a little bit more information on Kevin? I'm scrolling back up the top here trying to find it here. Kevin's phone number. Maybe you can just give it, Kevin.
My phone number is 417-850-4736. That's my cell phone number, and anybody can call me. Anybody in the area that's got any questions and needs directions or anything like that, give me a call. Be glad to help.
Give him that number again, Kevin, slower.
417-850-4736.
417-850-4736 for more information on the Joplin, Missouri. And you know what I'm pumped up about? I'm going to walk off the plane about 3 o'clock in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm going to see my buddy George Lewis. George is going to pick me up at the airport, and I get to have a 90-minute ride from the airport with George and 3 or 4 other guys, and we're going to encourage each other in the Lord, and we're going to strengthen one another, and then we're going to go, and we're going to go through this boot camp, and we're going to strengthen and encourage one another again, and we're going to find new converts, and we're going to pump life into guys who didn't have life before, and we're going to get in the car on Sunday, and we're going to drive back another 90 minutes, and I'm going to get back to the Tulsa airport, and I'm going to say goodbye to George and say bye to all of them, and then I'm going to get on an airplane. I'm going to fly home. I'm going to be home on Sunday night, and I'm going to crawl in bed with my wife and lay my head down and sleep, knowing that the seeds that I planted are going to bear much fruit. Ooh, my goodness. What a life the Lord has given me. Yes.
That's what we talk about. Them rides are always the best, aren't they? We're getting ready for that event up there in March in Wisconsin. I'm just going to throw this out there. Is Pastor Flip Benham's coming up to meet us up here, and he's riding the rest of the trip with us about, 12 hours? So we're going to have Pastor Flip in the van with us. That will be great. But you know what? That Courageous Pastors event up there in Wisconsin, I'm using that. What we all ought to use is I've got Pastor Roger Tickle there thinking about going and taking his wife. And a lot of us ought to reach out to some of these pastors because it's titled Courageous Pastors. And what better pastors do we have than Flip and Rusty and Pastor Matt Truella and all of them up there, you and Pastor Bill? I mean, that's going to be a great weekend. So just want to put a plug in for that.
Jeff, you're always doing a good job. Guys, I got to run, and I can't hang on rather after the show. I got to go jump on an airplane. Have a great weekend. JR shows tomorrow at 10 o'clock. And, go die to yourself. Hey, here's the word of the day. You ready? Whoa! See you on Monday.